Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
I was 11 years old at my first national championship. I fell, I don't know how many times.
Michelle Kwan is the most decorated figure skater in U.S. history.
But I had a dream. My dream came true because I dedicated myself.
Dedication made Michelle Kwan a champion.
I was passionate about something, and I made sure that I worked hard for it.
And dedication can make your dreams a reality.
Whatever your dream and goals are, they can come true.
Dedication. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
To open my mind and give my thoughts to you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Open My Eyes from Lucinda Drayton, and I'm your host, Sister Jenna. It's always important and also quite meaningful when we can come together in conversation and have a heart-to-heart dialogue about our lives and the direction that it seems to be going in, and perhaps the redirecting of where we think it should go. When we look at the current situation in terms of our health care, emotional health, physical health, there's even an aspect of health that we don't really think about, which is actually relationship health, that relationships mean a lot to us, and having healthy relationships around us is also a very big key in helping us to even physically feel healthy. And we're never going to be at a loss or out of energy to heal something, whether it's healing a physical part of the body, such as the heart, which generally connects a lot to love, as mystical prophets and seers have informed us. Or it could be healing a relationship of the past, or it could be healing a kind of a pattern and way that we've been thinking. I sometimes wonder about the amount of information, the amount of experiences that we have held in our systems for so long that the vibrations of those thoughts have lodged itself somewhere in the body, and it doesn't work at times as well as it used to. And maybe the essential life wisdom is grounded in acquiring not only practical information, but also spiritual information. You know, there is power in the soul, and there's power in the body. And based on the power and the energy that's in the soul, it expresses itself through the body. And the body can sometimes reveal, this is a particular area in which my soul has a lot of power in. And my body can also show areas in which the soul doesn't necessarily have a lot of power. So ultimately, how we heal, I think, is so important at the level of a thought. And I speak about this all the time. And healing is a mystery, and it doesn't have a specific date when you and I are going to plan to put our acts together or put our bodies together or put our minds together or put our relationships together. But there's just a lot of information sitting in the soul still unattended, still needing some attention, still needing solutions. And we can either focus a lot on what has broken down, what's not working well, and we could spend maybe a whole lifetime just looking at what wasn't working for me or what went wrong for me. Or we can use this lifetime to sense and signal to ourselves, it's clear something's not right here. My heart's not beating very well. My head's not feeling well. I don't know why I look at this person with these negative feelings or thoughts when all they've ever been is good to me. So we have to heal the patterns, and we have to heal the way we perceive ourselves and the way that we perceive our relationships, but even the way we perceive our body. Someone sent me a video. I wish I could find a way to put it on for you, but it was this sort of like, gosh, I'm going to mess up on this because I'm not a tech-savvy person, but it had the whole anatomy on the whole form of the body, the skeleton, the muscles, the organs, on this kind of a screen. It was like a big iPad, and you could zoom in to see, you know, where your heart was, your intestines, your pancreas, and you could zoom in to see where there were pains in the body and understand why that pain was there. And I thought it was a fascinating video. It's a new technology that has been released. I wish I could remember the name. I'm so sorry. I'll look it up and post it. And I thought to myself how cool it would be to create something like this that could give us some idea of how certain thoughts have certain vibrations and how vibrations affect matter. I think it's very clear that by now we feel that when we're in extreme stressful environments, how physically we feel, drained or intense or tight or rigid. And when we're on a vacation, when we're in love, or when we're, you know, playing with the puppies or the animals, or just having a good day, how the body just feels completely healthy and strong, even if, you know, you're physically even not doing so well. It just turns out to be a good day. So, you know, I'm talking about these two dimensions today, the inner healing and the outer healing. And I think that both are required, especially in these times where our health care situation in America tends to be up in the air. It's still up in the air, even though it was not passed as a result of just one vote, thanks to Senator John McCain. Of course, it's not perfect, but it's a very complicated process. I know doctors, patients, you know, citizens, everyone says, is there a way we can refine it? And as I keep looking at this, I said, you know, at some point we still have to be the caretakers of our health first. We've got to start taking care of our minds, our bodies, our relationships, our finances. I think this is the culture and this is the age that we need to step more into. Please don't change that dial. Our guest today will be Dr. Jennifer Haidt. It's a return guest on our show. And Dr. Jen will be talking to us about why are women in the dark about taking care of their health, especially of their heart. Before I get Dr. Jen on the line, I'm going to play one of our latest release of our new album, Inclusion Revolution. Here is E Pluribus Unum. Enjoy, everyone. E Pluribus Unum is not meant to suggest that power should be consolidated into a single individual, but rather that power is innately possessed by every individual, which makes up a single collective. In this meditation, I gently allow my thoughts to become aware that each and every thought is a part of a collective community inside myself. When I choose to nurture thoughts of peace and abundance, I generate safety around me and for others to experience. I'm a part of a collective, and what I think, feel, and do creates a community inside myself and outside of myself. I, the living soul, am a citizen. And through my life, I amplify unity, values, love, and togetherness. I use these pure thoughts to govern my life and to share pure feelings with everyone around me. I am not here to be ruled by any waste thoughts or by anyone. Rather, I'm here to rule my life with virtues and respect. I am one out of many, and together, I, you, us, make up a world of kindness and abundance. Let me sit in this pure meaning of E Pluribus Unum. Welcome back. That was E Pluribus Unum from our Inclusion Revolution Together with Love album that is now available online, whether it's on CD Baby, iTunes, or just go to americameditating.org website and enjoy the wonderful new website that's been released about a week and a half ago. Hours of radio show, lots of meditations, quotes, and inspirational thoughts as well. We're proud to welcome Dr. Jen back to the air. Dr. Jen is a practicing cardiologist as well as the assistant professor of medicine at Columbia University Medical Center. She is also co-director for the Women's Center for Cardiovascular Health, director of the Adult Pulmonary Hypertension Center, and director of Cardiac Obstetric Service. She specializes in pulmonary hypertension, heart failure, and women's heart health. And despite cardiology being a heavily male-dominated medical field, Dr. Jen has become a sought-after specialist in New York City. She's passionate about women's health and starting the conversations that are associated with health issues among females. Her mission is to change the narrative on how women talk about their health and their overall well-being. Today, we welcome back our dear friend, Dr. Jennifer Haith, to the America Meditating Radio. Hi, Dr. Jen. Welcome back on the air.
Hi, Sister Jenna. Thank you so much for having me back.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much going on in the healthcare industry, and I know that there are policy issues that are going on, and then, of course, we've got a lot going on with just the, upswelling of just a lot of health issues. Has there been any focus on how the emotional state of where we are? Because I think the nation is going through such anxiety. And I get concerned as to what is the repercussion of the enormous anxiety that we're going through every day we hear the news on how that's affecting our health, as particularly for women, our hearts.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that it's a very stressful time for people right now. You know, putting aside the obvious focus on heart talk, you know, whether it's political anxiety or, you know, four hurricanes coming at
us
or
wow.
War possibilities in North Korea, I really think that we can't underestimate how big a toll that takes on people's mental health and how they're feeling in their day-to-day lives. That may not be all that different, you know, if you're not in an area that's affected. And I do find that when I see my patients lately, a lot of the conversation tends to begin with, it's such a stressful time in the world right now, you know. So, yeah, it's definitely on everyone's mind, and I think that it's very important for doctors to pay attention to that and how it's affecting people's mood. And then, obviously, we know that stress and depression and anxiety are terrible for your heart, for one, and I'm sure for many other parts of your body. And since I'm a heart doctor, I focus on that. But, you know, I think I try to talk to my patients about how important it is to take time in their day to stress a little bit, decompress, take a few minutes to try to clear their head.
Right. The last time we had our conversation, I learned a lot, and I thank you for that. And I was really amazed that heart disease was the number one killer of women in the United States. Why is that happening? And, I mean, why are many women still in the dark about this disease?
Right. I can't totally figure out, other than history, why women are so in the dark. I try very hard to get the message out there, and I think that there's been more of a movement on social media and advertising about women and heart disease, but you're right. I mean, women have not traditionally thought of heart disease as their number one killer, and I think that there's a lot of attention around other diseases, which is great, but I can't help but feel that some of the reason why women are in the dark is because it's really been misrepresented as a man's disease for a long time, and I think the last time we spoke, we touched a little bit on how in the media and in movies, there's a real tendency to present heart disease and heart attacks and strokes happening to men, right? We don't see any movies where we see a woman having a heart attack or women having heart problems, right? They love to present women as in film and in TV as having, you know, pregnancy issues or breast cancer.
It's funny that you're saying that because we tend to take on so much emotional debris that it almost seems natural that women would have heart disease as well because of the burden that we tend to bear as women emotionally, thinking we have to fix everyone or make sure we take care of everyone before we even take care of ourselves.
Correct. I think women are the caretakers of everybody. And even, you know, I know my day. I always have a conversation with my husband. You know, he has a full-time job. I have a full-time job. but I also have another full-time job, which is to manage my kids and make sure everybody's signed up for everything, and you worry about your parents and the grandparents and the birthdays. And then, you know, I think women take on so much of this, you know, I don't want to call it a burden because it's actually life and it's great and there's so many nice things, but women do take on a lot for themselves, and they're bad at asking for help. They're bad at expecting other people to help them and expect other people to, you know, pull their share of the weight. And heart disease is a multifactorial disease. So it's not surprising that it affects so many people because there's so many potential risk factors. So women are at risk because of things like sedentary lifestyle, high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, smoking, family history, you know, all of these things, you know, that you can't always see or touch or, you know, aren't as obvious as other kinds of symptoms and diseases. And so they're ignored.
Now, is it preventable? Is heart disease preventable? And if so, are there some steps that you could share with our listeners that we can take precautions?
Yeah, so we like to say that, you know, at least 2/3 and maybe more of heart disease is preventable, maybe 3/4. Some people say up to 90%. You know, it's unrealistic to say that because it's, you know, I'm not sure we could get everybody to do all those things, but things like becoming more active, getting some exercise, losing weight, you know, even if it's not just purely about the weight loss, because I hate to just promote weight loss to people, you know, you can have some weight on you, but you need to be active. You need to get your heart moving. You need to get your heart rate up. You need to, you know, get your body going. You know, we're animals where we need to move around and do things, you know, and so that's the number one thing I tell my patients other than don't smoke. So quitting smoking, huge intervention people can do in terms of diet. Another major thing women and men, obviously, but women should do is pay attention to what they're eating. You know, no processed foods, cut it all out. You know, make your food with olive oil. Don't fry anything. And, you know, every single risk factor, with the exception of family history, right, because you can't do anything about that, can be modified. And so theoretically, you can change your risk of heart disease and your risk profile. Or even if you've had a heart event, you can change your risk profile for a future event.
You might be disappointed when I respond to you just about everything that you mentioned that I stopped doing. You know, like exercising, that I have to. Well, I consider my eating habit to be very well, but it's true. It's true. We need to move around. We need to value and enjoy this thing called life. And earlier on when you were sharing with me, it's not that it's a burden that you are a wife, you're a doctor, you take care of the kids, you make sure, you know, you dot everyone's I's, cross everyone's T's. Gloria Steinem might really yell at me. But sometimes I wonder if the feminist movement really did us any justice when really I think we stepped up to our plate, not because we had the capacity. But I think that our male other half, our brothers, just weren't stepping up to the plate as at the level that we think that we should be treated. And then here we are. We end up taking on so much more, you know, than I think we even expected to take on, that it has put a strain on the heart of a woman. Because I believe that we really are the natural nurturers as a gender. And I think that when we start to die with heart disease, it's a sign that we've stopped nurturing ourselves. I really do. Yeah. Now, you know, obesity is another thing. You talked about us losing weight. America tends to be, I think, one of the most overweight countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the eating disorders that we're facing? And what actually happens to the heart during or after going through an eating disorder?
Okay, so the first thing is going back to what you said about stress and the effect of stress on the heart. And I think that a lot of poor eating habits and eating disordered eating kind of comes from different kinds of psychiatric and mood issues. And I think that when people are feeling incredibly stressed, they partake in unhealthy habits. So besides the fact that stress itself increases your blood pressure and increases your heart rate, and actually probably now we know increases inflammation in the vessels of the heart, and just by itself increases your risk of a heart attack. The life stresses that people live with also lead them to do unhealthy behaviors like poor eating and smoking and drinking alcohol and using drugs, right? So those, that's a whole nother part of stress causing problems for your heart. In terms of how diet and obesity affects the heart is a muscle. It needs to exercise and it needs to move. And when people are very overweight or eat very fatty processed foods, you end up with higher cholesterol. You end up with plaque in your vessels. You also end up with some of the other risk factors like diabetes and high blood pressure. And those can also affect the heart muscle and how it functions. So all of these things are affecting women's hearts one by one, little by little, and then in the end you end up with a big enough heart problem that it's risking your life.
And again, it's where we're taking on so much on board. You know, we keep taking on a lot of things on board, and I believe the stress factor does play a huge role. Now, Dr. Jen, you're heading a lot of different departments. You believe a lot in women's health. You're biting off a lot of important areas in life. How are you managing personally?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It's true. I talk to my patients about this all the time. I feel like the only way you can really relate to your patients is if you relate to them about your own self. But, you know, it's hard. We're renovating our apartment right now, so we're in a temporary – we've been temporarily living out of a suitcase for a while. And I've actually thought – a lot about all these people, you know, in Texas and in Florida, just even being displaced from your home, even if there's no medical problem or and everybody's okay, there's a lot of stress there. You know, it's not your routine, it's not your life. So what I try to do is, and normally I try to have a pretty fixed routine, which, you know, some people are not a fan of. I tend to think it works for me. You know, some people are a little more easygoing. I tend to need a lot of planning. And so for me that works. If I keep things very organized, I feel like it's much easier to manage all the different ways that I get pulled. You know, I always go to bed as early as I can. I don't stay up and watch a movie until midnight. I tend to, you know, go to sleep because my phone might ring in the middle of the night because a patient's calling. I might get woken up and then it might be hard to fall back to sleep. And I think that sleep is so crucial to health, not just heart health, obviously, but whole health. I try to exercise as much as I can. I do like a core program twice a week, every week, and I try to go running as much as I can because for me, I feel like running is very relaxing. And, you know, I've tried these apps for meditating. I'm sure you know some of them.
That's a shortcut.
Calm. Things like that where you just put on some mud, listen to it in the car on the way downtown, and I feel like it just puts me in a soothing place. So yeah, I think, you know, I eat healthy. I don't drink a lot of alcohol. You know, I only when I have like a special event, I try to just lead a healthy lifestyle so that, you know, if every part of your life is pretty well managed, I think you can get through it.
Thank you so much. And I know that that was a really honest expression with a lot of like, oh my gosh, I really need to keep taking care of myself as well.
Yes, I know.
If there was anything, being in the healthcare industry for such a while and being so passionate about it, if there was anything you could change, what would it be?
I think that I would probably change, besides obviously that women would really know that their hearts are their number one worry, I think I would change access. You know, I think that there's so many barriers to access to healthcare, and I know it's a complicated issue. Believe me, I realize that universal healthcare or, you know, government paid for health care is complicated, but a lot of these countries that have, you know, government sponsored or socialized medicine, their survival rates are pretty much the same as ours, if not better. We have cutting edge technology and we do amazing things. And here at Columbia, we do amazing things for people's hearts. But that's such a small group of people who are getting that kind of amazing care. And if you think about the whole country, and people living in more rural areas, there's just so much difficulty getting basic good health care. And so for me, it would be that people could really get all of their vaccinations easily, that mothers wouldn't have to take their kids to the emergency room because they have a fever. You know, these kinds of things make people's lives so stressful unnecessarily. It's very difficult. And I think that even my patients, I'll see a patient and I'll order a test and they can't get it because their insurance doesn't cover it at my institution and they have to go somewhere else. So all of these things, it's like the more roadblocks you put up, the less likely someone's going to get to the finish line. And if we're making it hard for people who are already very, you know, a lot of the biggest risk population are people who are underprivileged, less educated, don't have as much resources to access the health care that they need. And so the harder we make it for them, the more likely they're going to do badly.
It's weird, isn't it, Dr. Jen? Like, in one way, we've advanced so much. And I keep trying to find solutions because, in a way, we have advanced so much. And yet, it just seems as if there's still quite a journey left to go to see how can we make healthcare work for everyone where it isn't such an emotional strain, or you have to put so many codes in just to get a patient's blood. It's just quite an interesting time.
Yeah, I was just going to say that my father recently went through an illness, and I feel like without me knowing all of what I know to navigate healthcare and knowing people at different hospitals to help, it made it so easy. But I think about all the people who don't know all those people, which is most people, right? And, most people aren't doctors, and it really gave me perspective on how hard it is for people to get things for their loved ones.
It sure does. And I have to tell you that I appreciate the role of the physicians today, because I know medicine has changed so much from back in the days when my relatives and stuff used to be in medicine, where it wasn't so technical. It was really somebody was sick. You really felt that, you wanted to help them, and then you moved on. Now you've got, you call it malpractice of things. You've got to pay millions of dollars for that. It's just like, why am I practicing medicine?
Right.
I practice medicine because someone's got to bring the heart back into the industry, and I know that you do, and we thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much.
So leave us with a blessing for America as it tries to reach anxiety. What should Americans do now for better health care? Give us a blessing from a doctor who cares about the human heart. What do you wish for America at this time so we can reduce our anxiety?
Besides the hurricanes, to turn and go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
I wish that people would be able to find that the help they need from the people around them, whether it's their family, friends, their doctors, so that they can get the health care they need, that they can make the changes in their life that they need to make, that they feel supported by the people around them and not alone, because I think that's the worst feeling.
That's beautifully said. Thank you so much, Dr. Jen. All the very best.
Thank you, Sister Jenna.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Just love her spirit, and because I know the energy that physicians really put out nowadays, everyone, it's got to be one of the most high-stress occupations that exist today, apart from maybe working in politics right now in Washington, D.C., or covering the news. But, we've got to take care of ourselves, exercise, eat right, no smoking, no heavy drinking, think right, so that you can take it a little bit easier, so that when you go into, your doctor or go and see Dr. Jen, she goes, it looks like everything's doing pretty well. So if you'd like some more information on Dr. Jen, please go to columbiadoctors.org and just look for her name, maybe /prof, P-R-O-F, /J-H. H-A-Y-T-H-E, if you'd like some more information on what she's doing. Well, remember, no one has the capacity to take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. Let us bring that more. And yes, as Dr. Jen said, let's wish those hurricanes outside. No, let them stay in the Atlantic and surf the Atlantic, because we really don't want to see anyone else go through so much. Any suffering that any of our brothers and sisters go through, it doesn't matter where they are, the Caribbean, Russia, Africa, America, it's our brother. We've come from the same source, and the same source is our father and mother of the soul. And if they're hurt, I don't feel very happy about that. So sending those vibrations, move our Hurricane Irma back out into the Atlantic or away from us, and just keep everyone safe and out of harm's way. Here's The Miracle of You by Paul Leftenegger, and hopefully we'll feel like there are miracles happening today. Take care, everyone, and thank you for joining us.
take a ride with me to paradise. Heaven's in your heart beating inside. You're alive, the great divine, older than time.
Another mirror.